Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the program. I'm going to begin with an excerpt from an article by Benjamin Cram's Master, originally published in the March 1991 issue of Share International magazine. It's titled, "The People's Voice is Heard." Almost without exception, the nations of the world are caught up in a new experience, the emergence of the articulate masses. Long gone are the days of silent submission to autocratic rule. Instead, the peoples everywhere are on the march, demonstrating their will and demanding their democratic rights. With some, the heady excitement and exultation leads them to excess and premature expectations, which are doomed to failure. But a movement is afoot across the world which promises to transform it. Steadily, the signs are appearing that the people are awakening from their ancient slumber and are taking the future into their hands. While we watch silently from behind the scenes, the nations, groaning in their travail, are giving birth to a new concept, the One Humanity. For long have we worked for this prize. For long have we sought to inspire this noble realization. At last, men everywhere are grasping the meaning of their existence and sensing the need for justice and participation. Few there are who would gainsay this need. Men differ only on the means of implementation. When Maitreya appears openly before the world, this process of self-discovery and expression will receive major stimulus. Under his direction, many millions hitherto disfranchised will regain their self-respect, enter fully into the organization of their lives and societies, and in so doing, fulfill their destiny. A new, socially conscious humanity will gradually find its voice and role, and, inspired and energized by Maitreya and his group of masters, will build together the structures of the new age. So now, an article from the July-August issue of the magazine. It's part one, and I assume the next part will be published in the following issue, titled, "Iran Rising for Woman, Life, Freedom." It's by Shada Kurangi. And it starts with a quote from another of Benjamin Cram's master's articles. And this quote is, "The inner call for freedom will echo and re-echo until the last bastions of tyranny crumble." After four decades of oppression, the people of Iran have united under the banner of woman, life, freedom against the despotic regime of the Islamic Republic. The unrelenting call for freedom has been resounding throughout Iran since the death of a 22-year-old Kurdish-Iranian woman called Mahsa Zina Amini on the 16th of September 2022 in the custody of the country's guidance patrol. She was beaten and detained for not observing proper hijab, the regime's strict dress code. Her death ignited a nationwide movement with the longest, most continuous and inclusive protests ever to engulf the country. Young girls took to the streets, stood on cars and raised platforms, waving their headscarves in the air and setting them on fire. The death of teenage girls participating in protests sparked an explosion of fury and revolt by women and girls against the regime, bringing more people to the streets chanting, "Down with the dictator, down with the Islamic Republic," and "We don't want a child-killing regime." The uprising was soon joined by men and people from all ages and sections of society. The protests spread to all 31 provinces of Iran and beyond the borders of the country to over 150 cities around the world. Dan Edelstein, professor of political science and history at Stanford University in the US, said, "The role played by Iranian women right now seems very unprecedented." Despite some Western misperceptions, hijab is not a cultural choice for most women in Iran, but a mandate imposed on them by the Islamic Republic, which has sought to police and control women's bodies since its inception. Flouting the veil and burning it has become a powerful act of civil disobedience and defiance against a totalitarian regime whose most visible sign and symbol of women's repression is the compulsory hijab. Failing to observe the mandate can carry a range of punishments, from a warning to beating to imprisonment or worse. With the hardline presidency of Ebrahim Raisi beginning in August 2021, hijab enforcement has intensified with increased surveillance and more arbitrary and violent arrests. As women have continued their civil disobedience, those who fail to follow the mandate are deprived of the right to access a range of social services, including being banned from entering banks and using public transport, with further enforcement measures and penalties being planned by the parliament, such as heavy fines and driver's license and passport revocations. Businesses have faced closure for shunning hijab rules by providing services to non-veiled women. One of the first acts of the country's first supreme leader, the Ayatollah Khomeini, after he came to power in 1979, was to legalize discrimination against women. The day after his announcement of the hijab decree, thousands of women marched onto the streets of Tehran on International Women's Day. Protests continued for days, but they went largely ignored amid the chaos of all the social and political transitions of the time. Women in Iran have since been subjected to a host of discriminatory laws and practices in both personal and public spheres, and the compulsory hijab has always been contested. They are denied equal rights in matters of marriage, divorce, child custody, inheritance, as well as in employment and political office. And while outnumbering men in higher education, they constitute only between 10 to 20% of the labour force and earn less than 50% for equal work. Yet, despite the challenges and restrictions, women have continuously pushed against gender discrimination and have played a dynamic role in society. And Nega Motahede, professor of gender and feminist studies at Duke University in the US, said, "From the very beginning of the revolution in 1979, women were at the forefront. They were walking shoulder to shoulder with men in front of tanks and guns, and they were seeking a different kind of government, an anti-imperialist, anti-capitalist government." As the vanguard of the current uprising, women have been paying the ultimate price for the right to self-determination and autonomy over their own bodies. But unlike 1979, this time they have been supported by men who have fought alongside them. However, this uprising is a movement whose demands and borders reach far beyond the abolition of the hijab mandate. It is, at its core, a movement for fundamental human rights and an end to the despotic theocracy of the Islamic Republic. One of the slogans early on was hijab or no hijab, en route to a revolution. In previous years, specific economic and environmental hardships led to demonstrations. An increase in food prices in December 2017 and January 2018, a sudden hike in the price of gas in November 2019, water shortages in 2021, and even the Green Movement of 2009 over the disputed presidential election, mostly by middle-class people in major cities. In contrast, women's rights were the spark of the current uprising, fueled by the multi-layered grievances and accumulated anger spanning decades of systematic corruption, discrimination, and lack of basic rights. After months of daily protests, mass demonstrations have subsided recently. But resistance has entered a new phase, and as the slogan painted on walls attests, the uprising continues. With people's rage finding new forms of expression with every occasion that presents itself. To name a few examples, the president's live television broadcast is hacked with anti-regime messages flashing on the screen on the anniversary of the Islamic Republic, and nightly chants against the regime shouted from balconies and windows echo across apartment buildings. A group of young women perform a choreographed dance, hijabless, on a street in Tehran on International Women's Day. And this is a quote from Benjamin Krenn's master from an article titled They Will Not Be Denied. The days of the autocrats are numbered and, one by one, they leave the stage of their inglorious reign. From the very beginning, the government's response to the protests has been a deadly and brutal crackdown. Peaceful protesters have been met with bullets and batons on the streets, and torture and executions in prisons. Iran's supreme leader, Ali Khamenei, has cast the protesters as rioters and agents of foreign powers. Security forces have used any and all tools of coercion to crush the protests, from arrests and disappearances to online censorship, state propaganda, and internet blackouts. 7 protesters have been executed. At least 530 people have been killed, including 71 children. About 22,000 have been arrested, only recently acknowledged by the regime, including over 100 detainees facing death sentences, according to the Human Rights Activists News Agency. The numbers are likely to be much higher as families are often threatened and silenced. The long list of arrests comprises students, artists, human rights activists, dozens of defence lawyers and doctors, as well as journalists, including Niloufar Hamedi and Elahe Mohammadi, who broke the story of Mahsa Amini's death. The 2 female journalists, along with journalist and human rights activist Narges Mohammadi, all currently held in Iran's notorious Evin prison, have been awarded the 2023 UNESCO's World Press Freedom Prize. And this is another quote. This is from Benjamin Krem's master titled The End of Bondage. At marches and demonstrations where the people call for justice, peace and sanity, Maitreya may be found in one or other guise, playing the part of the people and speaking in their name. His energy of love pervades these gatherings of the just and inspires them to further effort. His strength becomes theirs and they feel undaunted and sure. A number of unique and salient characteristics set this wave of protests apart from previous cycles in the past. The level of fearlessness and the extent of unity, as well as the young age of protesters, with the average being 15, according to official reports, are some of the significant features of this uprising. Even children as young as 4 and 5 participate through chants and songs. Footage of 3 elementary school girls shows them marching in unison in their schoolyard waving their headscarves while fiercely chanting Zin, Zindagi Azadi, which means woman, life, freedom. A girl of about six recites a poem with the lines, Our generation is a generation of love and sacrifice, a generation of awakened thoughts who detests hypocrisy and lies. It is a joyful generation, anti-war and overflowing with songs. It's the generation of woman, life, liberty and love. Unity has become another of the highlights and keywords of this uprising. The struggle against tyranny and the desire for freedom has brought people together across age, gender, ethnicity, religion, and all corners of society together on a scale unseen before. Male students chant, Woman, life, freedom, while women rejoin with Man, homeland, prosperity on university campuses. At the risk of expulsion, students refuse to go to class until their classmates have been released from prison. Unarmed people come to the rescue of protesters who are being taken into custody by fully armed security forces at the risk of being beaten, arrested, or losing their own lives. A young man who saves an older woman from the clutches of the security guards is shot dead moments later. A new and palpable spirit of love has been present among protesters on the street. They stand in squares giving hugs and candy to other protesters. When a volunteer children's coach, Mohammed Hosseini, who had no family, was executed on the 7th of January, the country became his family, with several mothers claiming him as their son. A few years earlier, he had posted, Is only death our right? Is love not a right? Is life not a right? One of the biggest advances and hallmarks of these protests has also been the absence of fear. Despite facing beatings with batons, tear gas, imprisonment or worse, young people keep coming onto the streets undeterred. Fear no longer serves as a barrier for people who see themselves as having no life or future under this regime. A sentiment expressed on social media by the young protesters is a feeling of being under occupation. A revolutionary song addresses the nation as 80 million hostages. Turaj Atabeki, Emeritus Professor of Social History at Leiden University in the Netherlands, said, Fear and hopelessness are intertwined, and goes on to say, The regime is not only wants to instill fear in society, but lead people to hopelessness. But fear has a ceiling. You cannot be exposed to fear constantly without losing its power over you. A 24-year-old medical doctor who was later beaten to death in custody said, Don't frighten us with death. We've died many times in this country. The policy of threats and intimidation has largely failed to silence this generation. They shout, We'll fight, we'll die, we'll take back Iran. And the slogans have changed from, don't be afraid, we are all together, addressing each other, to the current, be afraid, because we are all together, directed at the regime, reflecting not only a shift in power, but the awareness of where the true power lies. Among many examples are women who stand up to the heavily armed security forces unveiled. A group of women just released from prison posing hijabless for the camera in front of the prison while chanting anti-regime slogans. A 24-year-old activist, Sepide Golian, shouting slogans against Supreme Leader Khamenei with her headscarf down as soon as she's released from serving over 4 years in prison, only to be rearrested hours later before reaching home. And a 14-year-old boy, Artin Rahmani, leaving a note for his mother, expressing remorse that she will not be able to see his youth, but is confident that this is a path that he has to walk on. He was killed on the street a few hours later. So it's very sad, but also very inspirational. Thank you very much for listening. If you'd like more information, check out the website share-international.org. Wishing you all a lovely week.